James chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. But over the last couple of weeks, we've been studying Richard Baxter on the tongue, or Puritan counsel for controlling the speech. Thus far, we've looked at general directives for governing the tongue. Baxter gave 15 rules to improve the way we speak. Now he comes to a particular example of sinful speech, the first of which is taking the Lord's name in vain. What does this mean? We've all read the Ten Commandments, and there God says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." What does that mean? Well, Baxter says it means either of two things. First, in the grossest and most heinous sort, it is perjury, or calling God to witness to a lie. In an American courtroom, we put our left hand on the Bible, we raise our right hand, and we solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. When we lie under oath, of course, we take the Lord's name in vain. We ask God to witness or to confirm what we've said is true, even though we know what we've said is false. Now, this is a very gross and heinous sin, but in my experience at least, it's not very common. And so we're not going to touch on that abuse of God's name any further tonight. No, you see, the way that most people take the Lord's name in vain is more like this. Again, to quote Baxter, when God's name is used lightly, irreverently, contemptuously, jestingly, or without just cause. It's strange, isn't it, that God's holy name is used to express surprise, anger, sorrow, happiness. People also use it to fill in the conversation, the way some people say, you know, other times other people put in the name of the Lord. That's the way we'll use the term tonight, using God or Lord or Jesus Christ in a thoughtless and irreverent way. Now, if you're in this habit, you've got to get out of it. How do you get out of it? If you're not in the habit, you've got to stay out of it. How do you stay out of it? Well, Richard Baxter has the answer. He gives 5 good pieces of advice for properly reverencing the holy name of God. His first piece of advice is also the most radical and maybe surprising. Number 1, be converted. Here's the quote. For avoiding all this profanity and taking the Lord's name in vain, use all directions for conversion. And observe how great an evidence this sin is of a graceless, ungodly, miserable soul. If you had any true grace, it would teach you how to fear and honor God more. To make light of God is inconsistent with godliness, for they are directly contrary. Baxter is not mincing words on this one. He says the regular abuser of God's name is probably unsaved. This sounds laughable to us, but that only proves how degraded our culture and speech have become, and how much we believers share in the unregenerate culture. God's name is misused so often that it no longer offends us. And even Christians can abuse that holy name without feelings of guilt. But God isn't pleased with the abuse of His name. You know, I didn't finish the commandment that I stated earlier. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. The silly or thoughtless use of God's name is not compatible with grace, or godly fear. Now, if that's a big problem with you, if this word is used repeatedly in your conversation, if you've gotten into the habit of taking the Lord's name in vain, Richard Baxter says, you're probably not even saved. Even if you go to church, even if you give alms to the poor, even if you do other wonderful things. And so I can only urge you to seek the Lord, to seek the Lord while He may be found, and to call upon Him while He is near, to let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and He will have mercy on him and to our God, and He will abundantly pardon. And so that's Baxter's first cure. He says the best way to come to reverence the name of God is to be converted, to experience the grace of God in a personal way, to not just read about it or to discuss it, but to actually know the grace of God in Jesus Christ. That's the first point. The second point is to think of how evil it is. Think of how evil it is to take God's name in vain. Baxter says, it would never be so easily committed by you if you did not think it small. Have you ever called anyone on that sin? Have you ever called anyone on taking the Lord's name in vain? Well, I have, and never once has anyone ever apologized. Never once has anyone seemed to be guilt-stricken for that sin. It's like, oh yeah, oh whatever. Something like that. Or he defends it. We think abusing God's name is a small and trifling thing. What a rebuke it is to this age of sensitivity. We have to be so careful of how we refer to ethnic groups, or how we speak about women, or how we describe the handicapped. But nobody cares how we refer to God. But of course we don't. It's no big deal. Or is it? Baxter says it is a very big deal to take the Lord's name in vain. He gives 8 reasons, which I'll go through as quickly as possible. Number 1, consider who that God is whose name you abuse. Is He not the great and terrible majesty who made the world, orders it, and upholds it by His will? The governor and judge of all the earth, infinitely excelling the sun in glory, a God most holy and in holiness to be mentioned, no God, and you will sooner tremble at His name than irreverently abuse it. Think of whose name you're taking in vain. It's not my name, it's God's name. God, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. God, whom angels cannot stare upon. God, whom the best men become speechless in His presence. That's the God whose name you're taking in vain. And secondly, consider who you are to profane the holy name of God. Are you not a worm unable to resist Him? Can He not tread you into hell? And are you now a person fit to despise this God and abuse His name? Creatures mightier and holier than we are don't abuse His name. Who do we think we are to take it in vain? And then thirdly, this is a very interesting point. Consider you are more impious than those who profane holy things consecrated to God. Was Belshazzar punished with the loss of kingdom and life for carousing with the cups dedicated to the sanctuary? Yes, he was. And do you not know that the name of God has a higher degree of holiness than any utensil of His worship has? Remember the story, don't you? Belshazzar is the king of Babylon, a mighty emperor. And he has a birthday party one night to which 1,000 guests are invited. And maybe he wants to show off his wealth or his many conquests. And so he fetches the golden cups that his father took from the sanctuary in Judea. And the cups are filled with wine, and the cups are used to toast the various gods, to pay tribute to the idols of Babylon, and suddenly a part of a man's hand appears and writes, "Meeni, meeni, tekel upharsin," on the plaster of the wall. "Your kingdom is weighed in the balances and found lacking. It'll be taken away from you and given to the Medes and the Persians." You remember the story? What was Belshazzar's punishment for? It was profaning the holy cups of God. And Baxter says, surely you know that the name of God means more to him than his cups ever did. Fourthly, consider how unworthily you requite God for giving you your tongue and speech. He gave them to you to honor him. And is this your thanks, to use them to dishonor him by taking his name in vain? In other words, God did not give you your speech so you could abuse his name. He gave you your speech so that you could praise it, so that you could return thanks, so that you could use that sacred name in a reverent and holy way. And so it's a misuse or an abuse of God's gift of speech. And then number five, your infectious words corrupt others. They tend to bring God into contempt when they hear his name so used. The Puritan said, "He who speaks a bad word has a devil on his tongue, and he who listens to a bad word has a devil in his ear." And so we corrupt others by misusing the sacred name. Number six, taking God's name in vain is a greater sin because it is so pointless. It brings no honor, no sensual pleasure, and not a penny of profit. And under this heading, Baxter, who's a real man, explains how that maybe gluttony can make you feel good, how that boasting can increase your honor, how that stealing might profit your wallet, might fill up your wallet. He says, but what does God's name taken in vain do for you? He says it doesn't raise you in honor, but actually lowers you. It doesn't make you happy, but makes you miserable. And so it's utterly pointless. It's like vandalism. I understand theft. I know why people break into houses and steal. But why do they vandalize? Why do they do that? Why do they take their time out to spray paint a building or to dump trash on the ground or something like that? Why do they do that? What pleasure do they get out of vandalizing property? What pleasure do we get out of vandalizing the sacred name of God? Number seven, you forget how tender and jealous God is to the honor of his holy name. We forget that it really matters to God. And then number eight, how terribly you draw God's vengeance upon yourself. God says, I will not hold him guiltless who takes my name in vain. You won't remember all the details, of course, but keep the big idea in mind. Taking the Lord's name in vain is not what most people think it is. Innocent, or a small thing at the most, it is one of the greatest sins, for it dishonors God, it hurts other people, and it puts your own soul in grave danger. Next, Baxter says, if you want to use the name of God properly, stay in fellowship with God. Quote, remember God's presence and keep his fear upon your heart, and remember his judgment to which you are hastening, and keep a tender conscience and a watch upon your tongue, and then you will easily escape such a sin as this. Dare you to abuse God's name before his holy face? That's a rhetorical question, of course. Would anyone take God's name in vain in his presence? Well, of course they wouldn't. On the day of judgment, nobody will be abusing the name of God. Well, remember, God is every bit as glorious, majestic, powerful, loving, and just right now as he will be on the day of judgment. And you're every bit as accountable to God tonight as you will be on that great and awful day. Number four, find ways to remind yourself of his majesty and your duty. Baxter says, write over your doors or bed, where you may most often read it, the third commandment, and other passages of Holy Scripture. Think well on these texts. This idea, you know, is borrowed from Deuteronomy 6, where Israel's confession of faith is given. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And these precepts shall be before your eyes, and you shall put them on the post of your door, and so on. Now, the idea is borrowed then from Deuteronomy 6. The letter of this law has passed away, but its spirit remains intact. Find ways to remind yourself of God's majesty and your duty to Him. I found placing several Bibles around the house to be helpful to me. I keep a Bible in my car. I keep a Bible in my school bag. I keep a Bible just about everywhere. And again, I don't do this in a superstitious way, as though a Bible somehow inherently brings good fortune to me. But I just keep the Bible with me, not only to read it, but also to remind me of the majesty of God and my duty to Him. Marking your Bible may be very helpful. Listening to Christian music might be good. Family Radio has an excellent Bible reading program. Be creative. Use what works for you. But whatever it is, find ways to remind yourself of these things. And then the last point is this. Love and honor God from the heart. Baxter writes, "Love God and honor Him as God, and you will not despise and abuse His name. You will reverence and honor the name of that person whom you love and respect. It is atheism and no love for God that makes one so profane His name." This is the most important thing that Baxter says. In the long run, it's not discipline, it's not accountability, it's not Bible verses on the wall that will keep you from dishonoring the name of God. But rather, it's a heart filled with love and reverence for Him. Our Lord Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." A good tree necessarily produces good fruit. A bad tree necessarily produces bad fruit. Thus, a bad heart, insofar as it mentions God's name at all, will always mention it in an irreverent way. But a heart truly humbled in His presence must invoke that name with respect. To help you love and honor God more than you do, read the Bible. This sounds cliche, I know that, but it's still true. It's really hard to read the Bible regularly and not be touched with the majesty of God. You go over there and read Exodus chapters 19 and 20, and you read them with real care and see if you don't tremble before the majesty of God at Sinai, just like Moses did centuries ago. You go over there to the Gospels and read their detailed descriptions of our Lord's crucifixion and see if your heart doesn't melt with love and gratitude. Stay with it. Keep reading the Bible and read it more carefully than you have in the past, and ask God to impress you with its majesty, and especially the majesty of its great subject, Jesus Christ. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And so that's one way that you begin to love and honor God from the heart. And then a second thing to do is to recall God's mercies to you. Now, if you go over there and read Psalm 136, you'll see at the end of every verse the refrain appears, "For His mercy endures forever." And you can see God's mercy exhibited throughout the history of redemption. You see His mercy to Adam and Eve who sinned. You see His mercy to Noah and his family at the time of the flood. You see His mercy to Abraham, calling him out of that den of sin. You see His mercy to Israel in Egypt, His mercy in the wilderness, all of these mercies and many more. And these things are very helpful, but recall not only His mercies to other people, but also His mercies to you. Think about the many prayers that He has answered. Think about the countless jams He has gotten you out of. Think about your conversion, what you once were, and what you've now become. Think about the hope He's placed in your soul, the inheritance which is certainly yours. Ponder these things. Think about them every morning and night. Run them through your mind during the day, and you see if His name doesn't become very precious to you. Peter said, to you who believe, He is precious. Love and honor God from the heart by recalling His mercies to you. The psalmist said, blessed be God who daily loads us with all benefits, even the God of our salvation. In another place he says, what shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? A personal thing. Not only was God good to His people, but God was very good to this one man. And then as much as possible, befriend people who love and reverence Him. The Bible says, he who walks with the wise will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. You know, sometimes we're like parrots. Parrots just repeat what they hear. And we get into bad habits often through bad associations. We're with people who are constantly using foul language, we're making off-color jokes, taking the Lord's name in vain, and before you know it, we're talking just like they do. I know you have secular jobs, and it's very hard to stay away from these people, but as much as lies in you, stay away from this kind of conversation. Avoid those who dishonor the name of God as much as you can. And this brings me to a rather touchy point. How do we justify watching TV and watching movies when the Lord's name is constantly taken in vain in G-rated movies? This is not a law I'm passing. I'm just saying to think about it. Do these things affect us in any way? Well, if the mass media doesn't affect us, why do advertisers pay billions of dollars annually to advertise on TV? Be careful about these things. Be very careful. You know, there are Christian and other moral watchdog groups who like to monitor the content of entertainment. You know, there's so many murders and there's so much nudity, or there's so many four-letter words, but what about the three-letter word they never think about? What about abusing the sacred name of God for the sake of amusement, for the sake of filling time, things like this? And so as much as possible, befriend people who love and revere God's name and stay away from those who don't. And then one last thing, pray for more love and reverence. You know, God wants you to love Him with all of your heart, soul, and mind. And He also wants you to fear Him. Go over and read near the end of Isaiah and you'll see that God, who inhabits eternity and dwells above all creatures, also dwells with those who are of a broken and contrite heart and who tremble at His word. God wants you to love Him. God wants you to fear Him. And you know what God demands in His law, He provides for us by His grace. And this love and reverence may well come to you in answer to prayer. Some prayers, you know, we don't know if they're according to God's will or not. Prayers for healing and other things. But we know with certainty that the prayer to love and revere God and His name is according to His will. And when we ask for these things, we ask in confidence. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. So that's it for Richard Baxter on taking the Lord's name in vain. Over the next few weeks, the Lord willing, we'll also look at Baxter on lying. Baxter on gossiping, Baxter on abusing other people with your speech, and also Baxter on babbling. I pray God will bless this and those studies for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's pray, please. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for these gifted teachers of the past, and we thank You that they have wisdom that is still fresh and alive and worth learning today. I pray that we would mark men who know what they're talking about and that we would follow their teaching insofar as they follow Christ. And Lord, we thank You that You've given us a sacred name and You've given us the privilege of saying that name. And I pray, Lord, that we would always use it with the utmost reverence and with seriousness, with love and gratitude. Help us to do that, Lord. Bless each one who's come tonight. I pray that we would become doers of Your word and not just hearers. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.